Hello and good evening. I'm Melissa Idris.
And I'm Sharad Kutin.
Welcome to Consider This. This is the show where we want you to consider and then reconsider what you know of the news of the day. This morning, four Melaka State Assembly persons announced the withdrawal of their support for the Chief Minister Sulaiman Ma'ali, calling into doubt the slim majority that he once enjoyed. Both the representative who led the revolt and the Chief Minister are from UMNO. Now, while UMNO President Zaid Hamidi has called for snap polls for the state, others say it is the governor's prerogative to seek a solution to the political crisis. Now, it's interesting to note that the governor, Ali Rustam, is himself a veteran UMNO leader and was chief minister of the state previously. Now, what accounts for this political move and what consequences might it have for both state and national level politics? Associate Professor Dr. Hamidin Hamid is a political analyst at University of Malaya. He joins us on the show now. Hamidin, is this crisis largely driven by the conflict within UMNO Melaka itself?
Thank you, Melissa. Hi, Sharad. I think, when we look at the things and how things evolve in the conflict in Melaka, obviously, I think it is a very much internal conflict within the fractions of leadership of UMNO in Melaka. If you look and listen to the press statement by Idris Harun today, he clearly mentioned that it should not be not two lions in one hill. We are not sure which one is the he referred to, who is the lions, but it is kind of open secret that there is someone else, not in the state administration, who's calling the shot in Melaka. I think if we see from the PC by the Abdul Rauf, who is the head of the UMNO Liaison Committee in Melaka, explaining the situation today, is really much, in my point of view, answer the question where, surprisingly, it is we know that the conflict is about the state of government of Melaka, but the PC was called by the state head of UMNO Liaison Committee. And Rauf answered most of the question, not the CM, not Dato' Sulaiman. So with that, in my point of view, is clearly indication, clear indication that there is, I think, a big tussle within the UMNO leadership, especially in Melaka. And this is the faction, I think, between them emerged for a couple of weeks ago and very much culminated with the statement by Idris Harun in the middays today.
So, Hamidin, so just to get it clear, so the main players, these two lions, we have Idris Harun, who was a former chief minister himself from UMNO, and then you have Rauf Yusuf, who is a speaker of the House, I believe, because he'd lost his seat. He's not a member of the assembly. And he works through Sulaiman. So people might call him an ally, they might call him a proxy. Whatever it is, they're these two men. And then behind them, it's said that Rauf enjoys the confidence of UMNO President Zaid Hamidi, who made the call for snap polls. So how do we understand the relative strengths of these men, especially in terms of what will come next?
Okay. I think at this particular moment, Sharad, I think obviously Rauf is holding most of the cards when it comes to the party in Melaka. I think he's not only have the trust of President of UMNO Zaid Hamidi, but also he is a very much a right-man hand to the former President Najib Razak. And obviously, I think when he returned to Melaka in the before PRU 14, people assumed that he will get the post of CM, but he lost. But anyway, in regard to that, I think in my point of view, when we look at the things, how tussle in Melaka, what I understand from Idris Harun's statement is very much two lions on the hill is basically referred to Sulaiman and Rauf. I think so. This is where, in my point of view, most of the peoples in Melaka is kind of open secret saying that Sulaiman have no any teeth when it comes to the policymakers, and everything happen in Melaka is not only decided, it's not decided by the CM, but it's decided by the Speaker of the House. So this is where, in my point of view, for people, leadership in Melaka, it was a big issue when they have to, not to deal with the CM, the Chief Minister, but they have to deal with the head of UMNO. So this is where, in my point of view, the core of dissatisfaction with Idris. And Idris, obviously, I think he suffered most after this, after the PRU 14, where he lost as a CM, Melaka, and he also lost in the bahagian level in the UMNO election in 2018. So what's left with him is only the Dewan Undangan Negeri seat. So with that in my point of view, it is a very much something that's for Idris. He knows that he's going to be a dead end. I think this is a very much a last fight, last hurrah for him before he left the show. He left the political scenario in the next election.
Right. So in terms of, you said, I mean, just to follow up on that, which is, you know, who's got the strongest hand, if you use that, you know, a card metaphor. You said Ralph has the strength of the party behind him. But in terms of the assembly, right, now we have Sulaiman's government having the confidence of 13 assemblymen, not enough to hold parliament. The four defections mean that together with, potentially with Pakatan Harapan and members of the assembly, they would have 15, and therefore could form a government. So does that allow Sulaiman to remain in the game for the foreseeable future, if he can persuade Pakatan to join him in this gambit?
I don't think so. I think we know that Idris approached Pakatan Harapan leadership a couple of days ago, and they already make a deal that, in my point of view, that they, the four, will join the Pakatan Harapan. And I don't see that Sulaiman will make any move to go against any wish of UMNO leadership at this particular moment. I don't think so. So with that, in my point of view, the challenge now is very much in the hand of Ali Rustam. What he's going to do as a governor of Melaka as we speak today. Well, because in my point of view, the pressure for
Can I ask you? Can I ask you about that? Because, you know, the role, as you said, is maybe in the hands of Melaka Governor Ali Rustam now. But can he play the role of honest broker, given his history and his standing in the party?
Interestingly, Melissa, I think that's a very good question. Looking at that, I doubt that Ali Rustam will very much go against UMNO. I think he got a position as governor itself because being a former head of UMNO of Melaka at the same time. But in my point of view, this is a new challenge for him. Obviously, in my point of view, on the paper that we know, the Barisan Perikatan Nasional government, and which led by UMNO, is already lost the majority of the Dewan Undangan Negeri. So with that, I don't think he can do much on in regard to that. I know for a fact that he tried to be a mediator before, but I think he's failed because I think the tussle between the leadership is too strong happening at the moment in Melaka. Not only in Melaka, in my point of view, this is a very much a dissemination of what's going to happen in UMNO at large, even in the national level.
So Hamidin, so can I ask you about, you know, there seems to be some sort of role going on in Melaka. We have a Speaker of the Assembly acting like the executive, and now we have, you know, the governor not being able, because of his political history, to actually play the role of honest broker. I mean, is there something deeply wrong in the way Melaka's politics has evolved?
I think, thank you, Shara. I think that's a very good question. This is where I think I keep reminding UMNO people that they should not act like what they have in the past 5 years. I think this is where the problem with Raoul and many UMNO leaders in Melaka. They thought they are strong, so they want to muscle everybody as they have 2/3 majority, while they didn't notice, they didn't realize that they are in the government because of others who support them. So that's what happened today when two of them pull out the support, and two of UMNO really much didn't clearly have no support to Sulaiman, shows that UMNO lead government collapsed. So with that, in my point of view, it's very much a learning lesson for UMNO leadership, that they have to learn to work with others, not muscle them, not think that they are the majority and strong as they were before.
All right. Can I ask you then, Hamidin, how the political tussle in Melaka might possibly affect federal level politics, given that, you know, there's an MOU in place that Ismail Sabri has talked about working with other parties? How do you see this affecting national level politics?
Actually, Melissa, if I may bring you to where I look things in Malacca and how similar it is actually with the national level. At national level, we have a prime minister who is not the head of the party, similar to Malacca. The Malacca case, we know that CM is only a member of the party and is head by Rauf. So too in the national level. Our prime minister now is only a vice president in UMNO. He have to follow. He have to kowtow to any decision made by others who lead the party. So this is where, in my point of view, the interest of the party and the interest of the government will be collided. And that's what happened in Malacca. And furthermore, in my point of view, all this is very much a small war or battles. Yeah, that we're going to see a lot more coming that's led to the UMNO election in the 2022. In my point of view, to really prepare who going to lead UMNO in terms of leadership for next PRU. So this is a kind of a momentum towards that. So we will see a lot more fighting, not only in Malacca, but I believe in many other states also we're going to happen to make sure that who will be dominant. This is about politics. This is about consolidations and distribution of power that we're talking about UMNO. And UMNO is a master of that, in my point of view.
Okay. What happens next? Because we have two possible scenarios, at least. One is Idris is able to put together a government with Pakatan Harapan and the governor plays along with that. Or the voice of Zahid Hamidi rules and the state assemblies dissolved. I mean, which is the most likely scenario, and what would be the consequence with each of those scenarios? Do you think?
I think I will choose the first scenario, where, in my point of view, Ali Rostam will make a decision to allow the change of government and allow the new government led by Idris Harun and others from PH to form a new government. But I do believe it will impact on how the relationship between the PH and BN at the national level at the same time. But what I'm really interested to look at, how this really much create a lot more dynamic internal politics. I think this will very much will create a lot more within the UMNO political situation.
Well, how do you think the other stakeholders might respond to this internal struggle within UMNO? I'm wondering about Pakatan Harapan. How might they be able to press advantage during this turmoil, maybe press for the reforms that they are seeking? Or is there conflict and disagreement within Pakatan about how to deal with this crisis?
I think, obviously, we know when in the case of Malacca, for example, when Idris Harun approached, there is some section within the Pakatan Harapan who disagree and didn't want to take the hands showed by Idris Harun. But I think when they brought the matters to the national level, I think they make the argument that they were not the one looking for the trouble, but it was. They were asked by the people, meaning by Idris Harun and the group, to be part of what's happening. So with that, in my point of view, they're using, as usual, the interests of the people to make sure that stability is there for the continuity of the government. But in my point of view, obviously, Pakatan, I think if they are clever enough, no need for them at this particular moment to do a lot more when it got to the political strategy. I think at this particular time, UMNO dynamic will open up a lot more opportunity for Pakatan Harapan to be in the better position leading to the PRU 15.
Right. Hamidin, thank you so much for being on the show tonight. That was political analyst Hamidin Hamid. We're going to take a quick break, but we will be back with more on the political turmoil in Malacca. Stay tuned to consider this. Thank you so much for staying with Sharad and I on Consider This. Let's continue our discussion about the unfolding political crisis in Malacca. Joining us on the show now, we have Associate Professor Dr. Kartini Abu Talib. She is the Deputy Director of the Institute of Ethnic Studies at Universiti Kebangsaan Malaysia. Kartini, what do you make of the political crisis happening in Melaka at the moment? I mean, particularly that the representative who led the revolt and the chief minister are from the same party, are from UMNO. Is this purely an UMNO internal struggle that has spilt over and come to light now at the state level?
Okay, thank you so much for the question, Melissa. I think in my opinion, Melaka could pave the way to forming a unity government that could happen in the future. And I think this is the time to experiment with the MOUs, which supported by both PN and PH. And we can see in a few months ahead, in GE15 specifically, whether they can decide which can and which cannot be done. Okay? But the question is, why Melaka? Because Melaka is not like Penang or Johor. Then if you see that, though these states like Penang, Johor and Melaka, they share the slim majority at the state level, Penang is a stronghold of DAP, while Johor has a brilliant, strong, powerful sultan. So I think it would be hard to test the MOU in a state with a skewed position. So Melaka will be the feasible state to try the MOU and see if the 11 assemblymen of PH could convince the four state assemblymen to be with them or not. Okay? And because we see that PH has 11 DUN members, if they can come together with the four DUNs that rejected Datuk Sulaiman to form the government, why not? I think we see beyond just UMNO versus UMNO, but we see this as a test and an experiment regarding the MOU at the state level.
Right. Kartini, you mentioned a very interesting point, because we've seen, of course, in PERA, UMNO and PH cooperation to bring down the Bersatu Menteri Besar. And then in Johor, we've seen a lot of bipartisanship, led by the UMNO Menteri Besar there, Hasni. So you're saying that this is also another opportunity. The only problem seems to be that UMNO in this instance is quite split between Idris and Rauf. And how will that play out, do you think? Because it looks like Zahid Hamidi is supporting Rauf against Idris at this point in time.
Okay, I think when we look at Melaka, as you said earlier, that it could be Melaka is repeating what was happened in Perak before. But if we study carefully, we can see that Melaka has a long history of internal fighting between UMNO. And now comes the splinter, which is Bersatu. We can see the level of complexity of each case is becoming more tangled. But I do believe that if we look carefully at Perak, Johor, Melaka and Negeri Sembilan, which these are the states with a slim majority separating PN from PH, if any of them turn and twist, the state government will collapse. Like you said earlier, like in Johor, like as the sultan's influence in the form of the state government, while in Perak, UMNO and DAP did not vote for confidence for the sitting Menteri Besar, Faizal Azumi, who was the former MD of Perak. So I believe that each different case of the state come with a different factor, but we know we are clear that this is not just because of the UMNO versus UMNO, but this is about the slim majority separating PN from PH, and any of them who turn and twist, the state government will collapse. Yeah.
Right. Can I think then, as you said, perhaps one way to ensure stability is through a unity government. You talked about this is, the MOU being experimented on at the state level. I'm just wondering, if you take a look at the configuration with the breakaway four, if I may, and the, PH's 11 assembly persons, what kind of configuration are you seeing that? Are you likely to see stability or a CSA, or can they agree on a chief minister candidate, for instance, or is PH likely to push for their reform agenda? What do you think is the way forward here?
That's a very good question, Melissa. Well, we look again at the numbers. Okay? For the simple majority for 28 DUN in Melaka is 15. For the two-third majority is 19. Eh? What's happening now, we can see that two UMNO, one independent, one Bersatu, who voted for no confidence to the sitting chief minister of Melaka, and they can, we can see that they can become the kingmaker now. We are not clear yet whether or not this four state assemblymen will support PH. They may reject Datuk Sulaiman as an individual, questioning his competency as a chief minister, but they may select another member among the same bloc. If they did that, I think we are seeing what happened to Tan Sri Muhyiddin Yassin will likely result in Melaka. So we'll see. We'll see how.
Okay, continue. So there's a lot of speculation going on at this point in time. Very interesting. Zahid Hamidi has called for snap polls. I know it seems like an unpopular call because of the pandemic, but you know many countries have had elections and polls during the pandemic. Would it in fact help clarify the politics of Melaka if you know the voters got a chance to vote again, a clean slate of people with a very clear sense of their political alignments?
Well, I think looking at democracy, we are looking at the best and to move forward is to allow the people to select again the representative. But the current position of this COVID-19 is still not very pleasing, I would say that, because the case number, though improving, but still in the high numbers. It's 5,000 for today. So, as you said earlier, we can always going back and giving back the opportunity to the people. But at this time around, we would allow the state government to open the vote again among them, to and then they can decide who would be the chief minister to replace Datuk Sulaiman.
I wonder if we can, you know, address some of the issues that, as you say, is very specific to states. We have a situation where the party, UMNO party strongman, is in fact the Speaker of the House, and you know, and our previous guest suggested that he was calling the shots, not the actual Chief Minister of Melaka. And then we also have a governor who has deep roots in UMNO as a political party, and doubts might be cast on his ability to be an honest broker. Do we have a problem with our politics that we haven't you know, been committed to the independence of these institutions, either the speaker or the head of state, in order that when we approach these crises, we might have better solutions? Now it's all tangled up in their political commitments, isn't it?
Well, each and everyone is playing their own roles and function. And of course, as you said, that they have their own commitment. And their commitment is supposed to be to the people. But because of this strategic interest, it's becoming overpowered by the representative at the state and also at the parliament level. We can see that there's always a slight advantage that everyone can take leverage on it. So we'll see how this, I would say unstable, I would say more of the competitiveness of the politics itself. And we can see that due to this unclear majority, even at the parliament, at the parliament level and also at the state level, this is the reason why it caused so much competitive struggle for power, try to create and replace. As long as we are facing this trend far ahead, we can see that this is the thing that we have to simply accept in our way of looking at our politics, whether we are looking at Japan as a way of accepting the fact that politics and democracy has a flaw and everyone has to do something to improve it.
Yes. All right. Thank you so much, Dr. Kartini. A point well made there, Dr. Kartini Abu Talib there from UKM, wrapping up this episode of Consider This. Before we leave you, a reminder, you can get the latest information on COVID-19 vaccines at astroawani.com as well as our Astro Awani app. Thank you so much for watching the show. I'm Melissa Idris.
And I'm Sharad Kutan, signing off for the evening.
We will be back same time tomorrow. Till then, good night.